because it is an act of obedience to follow Christ's example. And as the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter, the text says, "For surely you know that when we were baptized into union with Christ Jesus, we were baptized into union with his death. By our baptism, then, we are buried with him and shared his death in order that just as Christ raised from death by the glorious power of the Father, so also we might live a new life." So for us, baptism is this idea of expressing the notion of the old self dying. But as we come up out of the water, it is as if we are raised up in new life in Christ. And that is what we celebrate for Noah King this morning.
Does it seem like just a few weeks ago Noah was a little baby around here? Did y'all notice he's as tall as Pastor Dennis, if not taller? Well, good morning, folks, and welcome to the Lord's house on this third Sunday of Eastertide, in which we celebrate Christ's resurrected presence among his followers. We want to, of course, encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on the road to your next-door neighbors. If this is your first time visiting Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you. We'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands, and please let us know this is your first time visiting. We'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. The sign-up time for camps at Tall Oaks is now. Please check the church's newsletter for dates and talk to Carol about signing up. The church will pay for one half of the cost for children and youth from our church to attend camp this year. Please remember that photos for our new church director are being taken this coming week. If you have not already done so, please talk to Barb Mayberry or Gail Gentry to sign up for a time slot. Please read through the information in the bulletin announcement page to learn more about honoring our graduating seniors coming up here in another few weeks, as well as upcoming events for the ladies of the church and other activities in our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church over the next few weeks and months. Our thanks this morning to Nanette Krause and Josh Whistler. And no, Lenora and Andrew are not on strike this week. They are simply tied up at the tech rehearsal at the Chestnut Theater all day today. So thank you again, Nanette and Josh, for being with us this morning. Immediately after our service today, we welcome you to join us for the May potluck lunch, which will be in the fellowship hall, of course, and then the May board meeting will follow in the upper room. And please also stop by the table in the back and consider taking a turn helping get the Jacoba kids to and from school this upcoming week. You may sign up for one or more mornings or afternoons. We thank each of you for sharing your love for the Jacoba family in this way. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Right, Josh.
Good morning. Please rise and join me with the call to worship. Let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear Son. For by the sacrificial death of Christ, we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God, which he gave to us in such large measure. And please remain standing this morning and join me in the hymn, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, All Stand Us, and this is number 559. the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love, perfect rest to me is promised, in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Thank you.
Thank you to our acolytes this morning, Abigail and Annalise Jacobo, for bringing the light of Christ forward this morning. May we bow in a word of prayer. O God of peace, we welcome You into our presence. We relish the opportunity to gather here in our worship service this morning. We are thankful for the freedom offered by our country to gather and worship and to live our lives in the ways that we believe You've called us to live. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget to be thankful for what we often take for granted. And help us to remember that our gathering this morning and our ability to live as a people of compassion would not be possible without the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning.
Good morning again. Yes. We always say the 8:30 service is the warm-up.
Oh, yeah.
Please be seated. At this time, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing stanza one of page 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning? I'm grabbing a hymnal when I need a Bible. Boy, I'm having a rough morning. So, wasn't it a beautiful morning this morning? Yeah, the sunshine and the birds and it smelled so good outside. I love spring mornings. I got to tell you, I love that fresh morning smell. That's kind of what my story is about today, my lesson. It's about aromas. Do you know what aroma is? Aroma is smells. That's what aroma means. It smells. So, some of my favorite smells are lilacs. Like the smell of lilacs. Fresh baking bread. Yeah. Love that smell. My favorite memory smell is the perfume my mother used to wear. Like that smell a lot. They don't make that perfume anymore, but I still like that smell. Well, did you know that as Christians, the Bible says we have an aroma? Aha, I didn't think you probably did. Well, Paul, when he was going about his teachings, let me read to you what Paul says. Paul says, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing." So, my question to you is, what kind of aroma does God smell when you are out there? Are you a good smell? Do you share your love of Christ? Do you portray the fact that you're a Christian? Does everybody know just that you're, by the way you act, that you're a Christian? Is that the kind of smell you send up to God? That of lilacs or chocolate chip cookies or something good like that? Or do you kind of leave behind a smell like stinky old garbage? Oh, I don't want to be a stinky old garbage. No, I want my smell to be a pleasing aroma to God. I want people to know just by the way I act and the things I say that I'm a Christian. A Christian is someone who believes in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So, can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for all of the glories of this world that we are allowed to appreciate, all of the beautiful aromas of fresh rain and flowers and fresh mown grass. Help us to portray all of the beauty of your world and of your love. Help our aroma be pleasing to you as we go about our everyday life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much, Kathy. As we have the privilege to go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to lift up today, our sympathies extended to Catherine O'Neill with the loss of her son-in-law, Jim Mayberger, and also our sympathy to Perla Mora with the passing of her niece, Kathy Granger, this past week. We also lift up Jerry Hamer as she is at Linden Woods, but is hoping to go home tomorrow if all continues to progress well for her as it has been. Harry, we are so delighted that you and Jean are both here. God bless you. We are so glad you're here. Wonderful to have you back with us. We also lift up Bryce Stamen as he's in the midst of recovery from knee surgery. And for Terry and Kay Yoakum, we lift up their daughter, Julie, as she's recovering from a heart attack. And we do want to lift up Dorinda Hoke. She's, again, been out and about with some of these art fairs that she's involved with, but she should be back in the area tomorrow. So looking forward to seeing her again. We lift up Michelle Jacobo and Jesus. We celebrate with your family the birth of a grandchild, Jessica's son, Jacobo Rodriguez, born on Tuesday of this week, right? Praise God. We just lift them up. We also want to remember Betty Barnes, Arlita White's sister, Mary Triplett, Dave and Rita Dyer's friend, Lauren Akins, as Lauren has a daughter named Nora, who is only about 8 months old, but having to be on a liver transplant list. So certainly a lot of concerns for their family. So with all of these people in mind, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, with praise in our hearts, we gather in your house this third Sunday of the Easter season. For the beautiful weather of this weekend, we offer you praise as we are privileged to be just a small part of your vast creation. The cool and comfortable days of this past week have ushered in the spring season as trees have leafed out and flowers are emerging. It is a season that does indeed bring forth a great measure of hopefulness as new life emerges in our midst. Yet, even as joy may fill our hearts with the renewal of life all around us, we are always mindful of the few who are so bent on creating chaos and terror, as again we've recognized that lives have been lost due to treacherous, intentional, violent acts near and far. And even the natural forces have exacted a toll on many through recent tornadoes and floods. Life on earth, it seems, is forever a roller coaster, filled with hopes and aspirations, but yet also filled with disaster, destruction, and even the loss of life. Such ups and downs bring a great measure of uncertainty for so many. Yet we are reminded, O God, that in this season we call Eastertide, we celebrate Christ our Lord who rose from the grave, victorious over brutality, suffering, and even death. Christ is the champion of all, over all, sinfulness. Thus, even as we find ourselves uncertain, as we lose loved ones, and as we trod through the daily concerns, may we reach out and take the hand of the one who has already saved us. For as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is with thanksgiving, God, that we offer this prayer, as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Elizabeth, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning. Thank you.
The scripture this morning is from Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13, and it can be found on pages 886 and 887 from your pew Bible. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and he followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners."
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that led him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Our communion hymn this morning is indeed an expression of thanksgiving, a thank you note, if you will, from us to Jesus. As the very first stanza says, for the bread which you have broken, for the wine which you have poured, for the words which you have spoken, now we give you thanks, O Lord. May we certainly be in the spirit of thanksgiving as we turn to our communion hymn, for the bread which you have broken. It's hymn number 411, as we sing all three stanzas, please.
The bread which you have broken, for the wine which you have poured, for the words which you have spoken, now we give you thanks, O Lord. By these pledges that you love us, by your gift of peace restored, by your call to heaven above us, consecrate our lives, O Lord. In your service, Lord, defend us. Help us to obey your word. In the world to which you send us, let your will be done, O Lord.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, for I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you. When he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, this cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And this means then that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's have a word of prayer before we share with God.
Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Noah, who's taken his next step in his faith journey this morning. And may your blessings be bestowed on him as well as the congregation as we partake of the bread and the wine, which symbolizes Jesus' death and resurrection for the salvation of us all. Amen.
And Noah, we consider it a privilege to share with you as the first act of your faith after your baptism, the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And so I share with you the bread representing Christ's body, broken for you for the forgiveness of your sin. And also, Noah, it's my privilege to share with you the cup that represents Christ's blood that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sin. And as you partake, we're privileged to also share with you this chalice symbol, which is the symbol of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Noah. And on the bottom of it, it gives today's date as in celebration of your baptism today. And so I hope somewhere in your room that you may have a special place where you'll be able to take this chalice. And, of course, you can wash out the cup if you want to. And you can place that in a place that will be meaningful for you as you celebrate the commitment that you have chosen to make, to walk in faithfulness to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And also, Noah, it's my privilege to present to you this today's English version of the Bible, one of the more easily read versions of the scriptures, and also your baptism certificate. God bless you, Noah. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you. Merciful God, we pray your guidance and blessing to be upon Noah as he journeys forward in newness of faith today and always. Amen. Thank you, Noah. The New Testament book of Ephesians chapter 5 tells us to live like people who belong to the light, for it is the light that brings a rich harvest of every kind of goodness, righteousness, and truth. As we offer a portion of our resources for God's purposes, this is one of the ways that we are living in the light, as we strive to offer a benefit for others so that they may experience God's goodness, righteousness, and truth. Gail leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of this day. We thank you for the gift of being a part of this congregation and the many blessings that we have because we are here. We thank you for the blessings that you have given us. And as we take this opportunity to give back a portion of what you give to us, may it be used to benefit others. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Most of us know that the Apostle Matthew was a tax collector. What we may not quite fully comprehend, however, is just how isolating it was for him to be in that kind of position, and what a miraculous thing it would have appeared to other people for Jesus to have welcomed him into his fellowship, or even for Matthew to have been willing to join. May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we give thanks for the day, privileged to continue our study of the apostles, and to know that as we learn more of them, we learn more of ourselves and our relationship to you. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. The text we're looking at here is the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter. We're looking at the 9th verse. As the text says, Jesus left that place, and as he walked along, he saw a tax collector named Matthew. And if you look at Mark's Gospel and also Luke's, you will see that the name Levi is used. Basically, he had two names. So it's still the same person being referred to here. And Matthew was sitting in his tax office, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Matthew got up and followed him. Now, when you read that text, you think, whoa, I mean, that was really quick. He just met Matthew. How did they do that? But actually, you have to understand that the scriptures always use the economy of words. They only tell you what they need to tell you to get the message across. There's a lot of background stuff going on that you're not aware of. This is a time period when everybody just didn't text everything. You know, we can text everything nowadays and show pictures of our food to our friends and neighbors because we can and because it's easy. Back in biblical times, having anything written down took a lot of work and was very expensive. So you only get the main details you need in the scriptures. But it is quite likely that Matthew was a person who had watched Jesus from the outskirts, from the periphery of what was going on. And that is because nobody would have liked Matthew because Matthew was a publican. Well, what's a publican? A publican was a Jewish man who worked for the Roman government, one who collected taxes among the Jews for the Romans. Now, what we don't quite comprehend, first of all, is just how lucrative of a job this was in this time period, if you could land one of these jobs, but at the same time, just how much the Jewish people despised Jews who worked as tax collectors for the Roman government. Why were they so despised? You have to understand, this wasn't just a matter of having like an American person who happens to work for the American government as a tax collector. This is a situation in which the land of Palestine is occupied territory. They had been occupied by the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and now who? The Romans. And for centuries, the Jewish people had been controlled by folks who were from an outside force. This was a terrible thing according to their faith, because Jewish people believed that God was the supreme power and that the only supreme power one should obey is who? God and God only. So when it came to the economy, when it came to politics, when it came to religion, your respect and honor and payment was to who? God and God alone. Now then, to be subjected to a foreign government saying, okay, we've come in, we've wiped out your forces, you're under us now, and so you're going to pay taxes to us. This was absolutely appalling to Jewish people and was considered a severe affront to everything that they believed. And also in this time period, you have to understand that you think taxes are high now and that it somehow just got this way. Nope, it's been going around for centuries upon centuries. There was a ground tax that you had to pay like 1/10 of any grain that you harvested, 1/5 of fruit, or any grapes or other such things that come off the vine. And you also had an income tax of 1% of one's annual income. You had a poll tax which every male person aged 14 all the way to age 65 had to pay. Now, the thing you have to understand is most people didn't live beyond like 35, 40. So they were going to tax you for how long? Life. Not many people made it to 65. There was also a duty on anything that was imported or exported. That duty could be 2.5% to 12.5%. And of course, there was a tax on pack animals, a tax on wheels and axles of carts, and of course, a sales tax on any kind of purchase that you would make. So taxes were profound, were they not? As a consequence, any Jewish man who would have the gall to work for the Romans was thus despised and hated. In addition to that, every person knew that when it came to the tax that you paid, you were paying more than what the Roman government required, especially at the toll booths, because those taxes were not published. You know, there wasn't a lot of print, no TV, no radio, no way to figure out what the Roman government really wanted. You just paid whatever the guy at the toll booth told you to pay. And so the Roman government also didn't mind that if you as a tax collector said, you, let's say it's 10 cents, the real tax is 10, you just tell the people coming your way it's 20 cents. They didn't mind as long as the Roman government got their share. So corruption among the tax collectors was indeed really, really rampant. This is the kind of situation into which Matthew bought himself into. In other words, he probably paid out a bid, and he got the winning bid for his particular spot, wherever this was, whether it was at a gate, whether it was at a bridge, or whatever, we don't know. We don't know where he was collecting taxes, but he had a spot, and he'd be there every day, certain hours of the day, and by golly, as you came up, if you wanted to get into the city, if you wanted to cross the bridge, if you wanted to do business, what'd you have to do? You paid your tax and went on. And as a good Jewish person, every time you did, you just had nothing but the evil eye for this guy because he was what? A traitor. Look at him. He's working for the Romans. We hate you. In addition to all that, according to Jewish religious law, any man who was a tax collector, any Jewish man who was a tax collector, was banned from all things of the faith. Could you go to synagogue? No. Could you participate in community events? No. You belong to nothing. You were at that point Jewish in name only. Who were your friends? Other tax collectors. This was the circumstance in which Matthew lived. And yet, Jesus likely saw him on the outskirts of gatherings of people. Would he come in to the middle of the group? No, because, you know, anybody who had a cane, a walking stick, whatever, you know, they kind of get behind old Matthew and go, wham! And, he didn't have a ghost of a chance if he got in a crowd of a bunch of Jewish folks. People would do anything they could to beat up on him because they despised him, you see. And yet, there he was on the outskirts. Jesus noticed. And over the course of time, what Jesus knew was here was a man who was genuinely searching to find a place, searching to know God. One of the interesting things about Matthew's gospel is that there are over 90 times in which Old Testament material is quoted. That is more times than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John combined. And Matthew was a gospel also written to try to persuade Jewish people to follow Christ, you see. And so with all of this in mind, what we have to really understand is that Matthew was a person who was genuinely searching for something different in his life. He lived, yes, great wealth, great prosperity, you know, economic future, great retirement. Oh, but in that isolation, he was miserable in his heart and soul. And so when Jesus came up to him one day and said, Matthew, come along, follow me, he gave it all up. When he stepped away from that table, what you have to understand is that different from the other apostles is when he walked away from everything. And quite likely even his family, because imagine how his family would have been. Hey, we like all this stuff. We like having a boat and this, that, and the other, you know, and having a great lifestyle. Dad provides it all for us. Hey, we live on the best part of town.
Hey, wait a minute. Dad just left his job. What about us? Hey, we like all this. Probably lost his family. You know, Andrew, James, and John, Simon, Peter, they could all go back to fishing. And at one point, they even do, remember? But Matthew, when he walked from that table, he was walking away from his everything he knew in his life to follow Christ. The text tells us that Matthew then had a great gathering of people, along with Jesus and his apostles, put together a big spread. Invited all his friends. Who were his friends? Despised tax collectors. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the people who taught the law, they saw this going on. They said, oh my gosh, look at this traveling rabbi. He associates with the scoundrels. Who does he think he is? Jesus said, you know, those who think that they're well, they don't need a doctor. Now, was Jesus saying that the Pharisees and Sadducees were really well? No, it's just that they couldn't understand their own sickness, their own absence of God in the way that they despised so many other people. They were lost. But Jesus knew that until they reached that point where they were willing to understand that they were lost, that they would never find Christ. But Matthew, he was there. He had it all this great wealth, prosperity, but deep in his heart and soul, he knew he was lost, and he sought out Christ, and Christ welcomed him. And that's the real blessing of the story of Matthew. That no matter what our past is, no matter what our background has been, it doesn't matter to Jesus. If you're searching for Jesus, he welcomes you. He welcomes you to come and be a part of his fellowship, his joy, his great understanding of God. And so I ask, where are you today? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day that you need to come forward and become a part of the family of God by making your confession of faith. Or maybe today is that day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. As we look at our bulletin, it's hymn number 546. We sing Amazing Grace, stanzas 1 and 4, please. 546. May we stand.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and what a joy it's been for us to celebrate Noah's baptism today. We do want to remind you that we have the potluck lunch right after the service, just downstairs in the fellowship hall. Please join us. And we also want to remember that this is the week we're taking pictures, right?
Yes.
All week long pictures. So don't forget your appointment. You probably got that recording on your phone if you got that already. So don't forget. And again, we want to mention that the board meeting is immediately after the lunch. It will be up in the upper room. So please, board members, we do need your presence. May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy and gracious God, guide us as we journey forward, for we know indeed, as we seek after you, you desire to be connected with us, as was indeed the case for Matthew. For this truth we give thanks as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
God, dismiss us with your blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each your love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, oh, refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give and adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful, ever faithful to the truth may we be found.